right, our next matter is 08-14, or excuse me, 412 Cincinnati Bar versus Patrick Mobes. And Mr. Mobes has been ordered to appear. It does not appear that he has complied with that order. Ms. Welsh?
Good morning, Chief Justice. Rosemary Welsh on behalf of the Cincinnati Bar Association, the relator in this matter. This case goes back to this court's order from September of 2008 in Cincinnati Bar versus Mullaney. Patrick Mavis was one of three lawyers found to have violated six separate provisions of the disciplinary rules. He received the most severe penalty. The court found that he was a seasoned practitioner. He was played an integral role in putting together the practices in his law office that led to the violations. His partner received a one-year suspension from the practice of law in Ohio, and a junior associate whose actions he directed received a public sanction. Mr. Mavis is not licensed in Ohio. He's a Kentucky lawyer licensed in Kentucky, and his sanction was to be enjoined from practicing law in Ohio pro hoc vice or in any other respect for 2 years. And that or in any other respect is the important part of this case, because relator received notice that Mr. Mavis was in fact practicing law in Ohio. The Bar Association filed the motion to show cause as of October of this year, based on information from two members of the Ohio Bar, information from Lee Parrish and information from Jack Grove. Mr. Parrish was acquainted with Mr. Mavis in connection with Mr. Mavis's representation of Richard Sizemore. Mr. Mavis represented that he was Kentucky counsel, local Kentucky counsel for Mr. Sizemore. In connection with a contract that had been formed in Ohio, Mr. Sizemore is an Ohio resident, and the business in relation to the contract was based in Ohio. The conduct of Mr. Mavis going back and forth between Mr. Parrish included letters, requests for discovery, proposals of settlement to try and negotiate the dispute between the parties over this non-compete provision, and also an in-person meeting in which Mr. Mavis came from Kentucky to Ohio and met in Mr. Parrish's office with his client and the opposing parties to try and negotiate a settlement.
And counsel, this was in Butler County Common Pleas Court, is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor. At the time when Mr. Parrish was counsel, no suit had been filed at that point. So what they were doing was trying to negotiate a potential lawsuit based on the alleged breach of contract. When it became apparent that suit was going to have to be filed, Mr. Parrish announced that he would not be the trial attorney, and Mr. Sizemore got new counsel in the spring of 2010, and his new counsel was Jack Grove. The pattern of behavior continued. There were exchanges of correspondence between Mr. Mavis and Mr. Grove. There was a request for discovery. There was requests for personal meetings. And ultimately, Mr. Grove found the case of Cincinnati Bar versus Mullaney, became aware that Mr. Mavis was under suspension to practice law in Ohio, wrote a letter to Mr. Mavis, explained to him that his efforts to contact on behalf of Mr. Sizemore were prohibited by that case, and as a result, Mr. Mavis backed off. However, on the same day that he sent a letter to Mr. Grove saying, "I understand and I won't contact you anymore until October after the suspension has been lifted," on the same day as he wrote that letter, he wrote another letter dated the same, received on the same day, that said, "My client is interested in settlement negotiations, would like to resolve this lawsuit with you." At that point, Justice Lanzinger, suit had been filed, and he was referring specifically to the lawsuit that was filed in Butler County. And it was Jack Grove who brought this matter to the attention of the Cincinnati Bar Association. by sending a copy of his letter to Mr. Mavis to John Slauson, who is co-counsel for the Cincinnati Bar Association. After receiving this information, the Bar Association filed its motion to show cause why Mr. Mavis should not be held in contempt for violation of this court's order. As you know from the subsequent filings in this case, there was an initial order from the court that he should show cause. The Bar Association submitted a notice that we had received word from Mr. Mavis's secretary that he was hospitalized. The court set a new deadline, and that was today, to appear and show cause. Earlier this month, we also filed information to give notice to the court that Mr. Mavis has been charged with theft by deception on three separate charges relating to his representation of clients in Kentucky, not in any way related to the original matter on which he was brought up on disciplinary charges in Ohio. Mr. Mavis has not responded in any way since the first motion for order to show cause was filed in October. He did not appear today. He has not been represented by counsel. He has been cooperative in the investigation of the proceedings. He did meet with us. He acknowledged the facts set forth in the proceedings, but has not offered a defense.
What is the relief you're seeking from us this morning, Ms.
Penalties for his contempt of court, and the penalties to be imposed are certainly at the discretion of the court, whether it's a monetary fine or a jail sentence. I leave that to the court's discretion. We simply felt that it was important for the court to be aware that its order was being violated.
To your knowledge, is Mr. Mavis still practicing law? Mr. Mavis?
To our knowledge, information that we've received, he is still imprisoned. He is still in the Kenton County Jail. The information we received from the jail was that he was released after his initial charge. I think the original charge was filed in November. He was imprisoned and released on bail. The second set of charges came about 30 days later. He was imprisoned, and at that time, to our knowledge, he has not posted bail as of yesterday. He was still in jail.
Facility?
I'm sorry?
Which facility?
Kenton County Jail, Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And according to what we read in the newspaper, if we're going to talk about outside information, his office does no longer answer his phone calls, and he is not open for business.
So we shouldn't punish him for not showing up today.
I think that's a fair conclusion.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'll take the matter under advisement.